Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, October 26th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topics, all approached from a Christian worldview. So I would encourage you to go on over there. I will guarantee you're going to find something you want to listen to, and there's a real good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you have time to listen to it in. All right, well, I want to let you know, just I've had a number of things come up over the last day or so. So this episode is just going to be Bible reading. We will pick back up with our Bible study for the Friday evening, on the Friday, God willing, the Friday evening portion of the podcast, but for today, we're just going to do our Bible reading and our devotions and prayers and stuff. So let's go ahead and jump right in. We're going to open up with the fifth day morning prayer. It's called the Giver. Let's pray. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear, allure us into thy presence, help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed to us thy grace and mercy, in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor, but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials, but thankful for our state, and by so doing let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right. And our morning devotion is, let's see, the text for it is from Haggai 1:9. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Churlish souls stint their contributions to the ministry and missionary operations, and call such saving good economy. Little do they dream that they are thus impoverishing themselves. Their excuse is that they must care for their own families, and they forget that to neglect the house of God is the sure way to bring ruin upon their own houses. Our God has a method in providence by which he can succeed our endeavors beyond our expectation, or can defeat our plans to our confusion and dismay. By a turn of his hand, he can steer our vessel in a profitable channel, or run it aground in poverty and bankruptcy. It is the teaching of Scripture that the Lord enriches the liberal and leaves the miserly to find out that withholding tendeth to poverty. In a very wide sphere of observation, I have noticed that the most generous Christians of my acquaintance have been always the most happy and almost invariably the most prosperous. I have seen the liberal giver rise to wealth of which he never dreamed, and I have as often seen the mean, ungenerous churl descend to poverty by the very parsimony by which he thought to rise. Men trust good stewards with larger and larger sums, and so it frequently is with the Lord. He gives by cartloads to those who give by bushels. Where wealth is not bestowed, the Lord makes the little much by the contentment which the sanctified heart feels in a portion of which the tithe has been dedicated to the Lord. Selfishness looks first at home, but godliness seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yet in the long run, selfishness is loss, and godliness is great gain. It needs faith to act towards our God with an open hand, but surely he deserves it of us. And all that we can do is a very poor acknowledgement of our amazing indebtedness to his goodness. All right. Well, let's see. We're going to read Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 23 through Jeremiah verse 50 or chapter 50, Titus 1, Psalm 97 and 98, and Proverbs 26, verse 13 through 16. So Jeremiah 49, starting in verse 23. Concerning Damascus, Hamath and Arpad are put to shame, for they have heard a bad report. They are melting away. There is anxiety by the sea. It cannot be quieted. Damascus has become limp in their hands. She is turned away to flee, and panic has taken hold of her. Distress and pangs have seized her, like a woman in childbirth. How the city of praise has not been forsaken, the town of my joy. Therefore her young men will fall in her open squares, and all the men of war will be silenced in that day, declares Yahweh of hosts. I will set fire to the wall of Damascus, and it will devour the fortified towers of Ben-Hadad. Concerning Kedar and the kingdoms of Hazor, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, struck down, thus says Yahweh, arise, go up to Kedar, and destroy the men of the east. They will take away their tents and their flocks. They will carry off for themselves their tent curtains, all their goods, and their camels, and they will call out to one another, terror on every side. Run away, flee earnestly, inhabit the depths, O inhabitants of Hazor, declares Yahweh. For Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has taken counsel against you, and purposed a purpose against you. Arise, go up against a nation which is at ease, which inhabits its land securely, declares Yahweh. It has no gates or bars. They dwell alone. Their camels will become plunder, and their many cattle for spoil. And I will scatter to all the winds those who cut the corners of their hair, and I will bring their disaster from every side, declares Yahweh. Hazor will become a haunt of jackals, a desolation forever. No one will inhabit there, nor will a son of man sojourn in it. That which came as the word of Yahweh to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, behold, I am going to break the bow of Elam, the finest of their might. I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four ends of heaven, and I will scatter them to all these winds, and there will be no nation to which the banished ones of Elam will not go. So I will shatter Elam before their enemies and before those who seek their lives, and I will bring calamity upon them, even my burning anger, declares Yahweh, and I will send out the sword after them until I have consumed them. Then I will set my throne in Elam, and cause king and princes from there to perish, declares Yahweh. But it will be in the last days that I will return the fortunes of Elam, declares Yahweh. Jeremiah 50. The word which Yahweh spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, by the hand of Jeremiah the prophet. Declare and make it heard among the nations, make it heard and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it, but say, Babylon has been captured, Bel has been put to shame, Marduk has been shattered. Her images have been put to shame, her idols have been shattered. For a nation has come up against her out of the north. It will make her land an object of horror, and there will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away. In those days and at that time, declares Yahweh, the sons of Israel will come, both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go along weeping as they go, and it will be Yahweh their God they will seek. They will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in its direction and saying, come, in order that they may join themselves to Yahweh in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn away on the mountain. They have gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place. All who came out against them but have devoured them, and their adversaries have said, we are not guilty, inasmuch as they have sinned against Yahweh, who is the abode of righteousness, even Yahweh, the hope of their fathers. Wander away from the midst of Babylon, and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be also like male goats on the head of the flock, For behold, I am going to arouse and bring up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the land of the north, and they will arrange their battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like a warrior who makes one childless, who does not return empty-handed. Chaldea will become spoil. All who take her spoil will have enough, declares Yahweh. Because you are glad, because you exult, O you who plunder my inheritance, because you skip about like a threshing heifer and neigh like valiant steeds. Your mother will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. Behold, she will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of Yahweh she will not be inhabited, but she will be completely desolate. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be in desolation and will hiss because of all her wounds. Arrange your battle lines against Babylon on every side, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her, do not be sparing with your arrows, for she has sinned against Yahweh. Raise a loud shout against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been pulled down, for this is the vengeance of Yahweh. Take vengeance on her. As she has done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and the one who seizes the sickle at the time of harvest. From before the sword of the oppressor, they will each turn back to his own people, and they will each flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have banished them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria, and this last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And I will return Israel back to his pasture, and he will graze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and at that time, declares Yahweh, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found, for I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Against the land of Marathaim go up against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Put them to the sword and devote them to destruction, declares Yahweh, and do according to all that I have commanded you. The noise of battle is in the land, and great destruction, how the hammer of the whole earth has been cut in pieces and broken, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. I set a snare for you, and you were also caught, O Babylon, but you yourself did not know. You have been found and also seized, because you have engaged in conflict with Yahweh. Yahweh has opened his armory, and has brought forth the weapon of his indignation. For it is a work of Lord Yahweh of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come to her from the farthest border. Open up her barns, pile her up like heaps, and devote her to destruction. Let nothing of her remain, but all her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe be upon them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. There is a sound of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh our God, vengeance for his temple. Summon many against Babylon, all those who bend the bow, encamp against her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all that she has done, so do to her. For she has become arrogant against Yahweh, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men will fall in her open squares, and all her men of war will be silenced in that day, declares Yahweh. Behold, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares your Lord Yahweh of hosts, for your day has come, the time when I will punish you. The arrogant one will stumble and fall, with no one to raise him up, and I will set fire to his cities, and it will devour him on every side. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well, and all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. Yahweh of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case, so that he may bring relief to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword against the Chaldeans, declares Yahweh, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her officials and her wise men. A sword against the oracle priests, and they will become fools. A sword against her mighty men, and they will be shattered. A sword against their horses and against their chariots, and against all the foreigners who are in the midst of her, and they will become women. A sword against her treasures, and they will be plundered. A drought on her waters, and they will be dried up, for it is a land of graven images, and they are mad over terrifying idols. Therefore the desert creatures will live there along with the jackals. The ostriches also will live in it, and it will never again be lived in, or dwelt in from generation to generation. As when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with its neighbors, declares Yahweh, no man will live there, nor will any son of man sojourn in it. Behold, a people is coming from the north, and a great nation and many kings will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. They seize their bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no compassion. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses, arranged like a man for battle. Against you, O daughter of Babylon, the king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands hang limp. Distress has taken hold of him, agony like a woman in childbirth. Behold, one will come like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan to an enduring pasture, for in an instant I will make them run away from it, and whoever is chosen I will appoint over it. For who is like me, and who will summon me into court, and who then is the shepherd who can stand before me? Therefore hear the counsel of Yahweh, which he has counseled against Babylon, and his purposes which he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they will drag them off, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he will make their pasture desolate because of them. At the sound Babylon has been seized, the earth is shaken, and an outcry is heard among the nations. All right, Titus 1. Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the full knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life which the God who cannot lie promised from all eternity, but at the proper time manifested his word and preaching with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus my genuine child according to our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man is beyond reproach, the husband of one wife, having faithful children who are not accused of dissipation or rebellious. For the overseer must be beyond reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of dishonest gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to reprove those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of dishonest gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true, for this reason reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their works they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and unfit for any good work. Psalm 97. Yahweh reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. His earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of the Lord of all the earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced, because of your judgments, O Yahweh, for you are Yahweh, most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Hate evil, you who love Yahweh, who keeps the souls of his holy ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in Yahweh, your righteous ones. Be glad in Yahweh, you righteous ones, and give thanks for the remembrance of his holy name. Psalm 98. A Psalm. Sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand and his holy arm have worked out his salvation. Yahweh has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the eyes of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Yahweh. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a loud shout to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to Yahweh with the lyre and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a loud shout before King Yahweh. Let the sea roar as well as its fullness. the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Before Yahweh, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Finally, Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 16. The sluggard says, "There is a fierce lion in the road. A lion is among the streets. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is too weary to return it to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can respond with a discreet answer." All right, that is our reading for the day, and our evening devotion is from the text is from Ecclesiastes 1:7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. Everything sublunary is on the move. Time knows nothing of rest. The solid earth is a rolling ball, and the great sun himself a star, obediently fulfilling its course around some greater luminary. Yeah. Tides move the sea. Winds stir the airy ocean. Friction wears the rock. Change and death rule everywhere. The sea is not a miser's storehouse for wealth of waters, for as by one force the waters flow into it, by another they are lifted from it. Men are born but to die. Everything is hurry, worry, and vexation of spirit. Friend of the unchanging Jesus, what a joy it is to reflect upon thy changeless heritage. Thy sea of bliss, which will be forever full, since God himself shall pour eternal rivers of pleasure into it. We seek an abiding city beyond the skies, and we shall not be disappointed. The passage before us may well teach us gratitude. Father Ocean is a great receiver, but he is a generous distributor. What the rivers bring him, he returns to the earth in the form of clouds and rain. That man is out of joint with the universe who takes all but makes no return. To give to others is but sowing seed for ourselves. He who is so good a steward as to be willing to use his substance for his Lord shall be entrusted with more. Friend of Jesus, art thou rendering to him according to the benefit received? Much has been given thee. What is thy fruit? What hast thou done all? Canst thou not do more? To be selfish is to be wicked. Suppose the ocean gave up none of its watery treasure. It would bring ruin upon our race. God forbid that any of us should follow the ungenerous and destructive policy of living unto ourselves. Jesus pleased not himself. All fullness dwells in him, but of his fullness have we all received. O for Jesus' Spirit, that henceforth we may live not unto ourselves. All right, well, that is our show for the day. I thank you for spending this time with me. I'm sorry about not having Bible study stuff ready. I actually did have it ready. I just haven't had time to be able to record it for you. So this is going to do it for today. I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. We're going to close out with the fifth day evening prayer called Protection. Let's pray. O Lord God, thou art our preserver, governor, savior, and coming judge. Quieten our souls to call upon thy name. Detach us from the influence of the flesh and the senses. Impress us with the power of faith. Promote in us spirituality of mind that will render our services acceptable to thee and delightful and profitable to ourselves. Bring us into that state which attracts thine eye and prepare us to receive the proofs of thy love. Show us our danger that we may fly to thee for refuge. Make us sensible of our sin's disease, that we may value the good physician. Placard to us the cross, that it may slay the enmity of our hearts. Help us to be watchful over our ways, diligent over our hearts. When we droop, revive us. When we loiter, quicken us. When we go astray, restore us. Possess us with more of that faith, which is the principle of all vital godliness. May we be rich in faith, be strong in faith, live by faith, walk by faith, experience the joy of faith, do the work of faith, hope through faith, perceiving nothing in ourselves. May we find in the Savior wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good one. God bless.